Well, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for coming to People's Rights today here in Pasadena in the park. We have a wonderful speaker today. Bonnie Wallace is the president of the Pasadena Republican Assembly, and she's here to talk to us today. So, Bonnie, please come on up to the microphone and give us a talk. Thank you for coming.
Hello, patriots and friends. I can't see everybody because this camera is in front of me, but I know you're back there. So, yeah, I'm Bonnie Wallace. I am the president of the Greater Pasadena Republican Assembly, and I have just announced that I am running for U.S. Senate in District 28. I've been asked to do that as a Republican, and I'm ready. More or less ready. Now, I had invited this gentleman, Kenny, maybe he's coming back, so I don't want to say anything yet. So let's wait and see. I'll save that. So I am going to tell you a little bit about my background, how I got into this whole political mess that we're in, and then share a few more thoughts with you, which I think some of you may have already heard. But my background is Jewish. I have Jewish ancestors and family on both sides. My grandfather on my mother's side was born in Lviv, Poland, which is right on the border of Ukraine. And it flip-flopped between Ukraine, Russia, Poland, Ukraine, Russia, Poland. But in the late 1930s, it was Poland. And my grandfather lived there with a big family. There was five kids in the family. He had cousins, aunts, uncles, nephews, brothers and sisters, and they were living large. They had a jewelry store. One of his uncles was raising horses. His sister was a pharmacist. They had children. Things were great. His Aunt Rose was here in America, and she started seeing things happen in Europe, 1930s. And she kept telling the family, you better get out. You better leave. And they would say, no, no, no. All that stuff is happening in Warsaw. All that stuff is happening in Krakow and the cities. We're okay here. The sun is shining. The birds are singing. The flowers are blooming. Everything's okay. We're not worried. Things were getting progressively and progressively worse. Aunt Rose got on a boat from America, went to Gdańsk, Poland, drove down towards where they were, said, you guys have to leave. They wouldn't leave. At the time, my grandfather was studying medicine in Prague. She went all the way to Prague. My grandfather came out of the medical building. She said, get in the car, Stanley. Salo was his name. Salo. He changed it to Stanley. He got in the car. He said, where are we going? She said, we're going to America. They drove all the way up to Gdańsk. They went on the boat. They came to America. And just months later, my grandfather's family was murdered by the Nazis, except for his sister, who witnessed her baby boy and husband get shot in front of her eyes by the Nazis. She escaped, lived in the basement of a family in town for about a year, eating a potato a week. She was discovered, sent to a concentration camp. Fortunately, it was towards the end of the war, and they were liberated before she passed. But she went cuckoo. She couldn't really relate anymore in society. It broke her completely. So this was the history that I grew up in. And we were not a religious family, because the prayers that the Jewish people said did not help them. It did not help them. And so we were not a Jewish religious family. I was secular. I wasn't bat mitzvahed. We didn't do any of the traditions. But what we did do and what we did honor and support was our American Constitution. And I was aware very early on that it is our constitutional rights, our Bill of Rights, that prevents tyranny. If we have freedom of speech, if we have the freedom to peacefully petition a government, if we have a fair and honest press and the right to practice our religion and the right to bear arms, we would prevent another Holocaust. And that was the most important thing. So I grew up understanding that our Constitution was really important. And that's what I understood to be true. And little by little, we have seen over the decades the erosion of those rights. And in comes 2020, right? And we all know what happened. The shutdowns, the lockstep shutdowns and lockdowns, and then what? And mandates and Black Lives Matter, burning our cities to the ground with impunity. And then, of course, the very questionable election. And if you questioned the election, you were a right-wing extremist. Well, my DNA starting in 2020 with the lockdown, I started to feel it. Something's going on. And by the end of 2020 with the stolen election, I'm just going to say it, my ancestors were screaming, "You better do something. We're in big trouble. We've seen this before. We didn't listen to Aunt Rose. You need to listen to Aunt Rose and get busy." So I thought, well, the political solution is the peaceful solution. If we can vote our way out of this mess and get enough people to vote for reasonable representation who's going to stand up for our rights, we don't have to bear arms. We don't have to make this a bloody war. We can just vote our way out. It's the peaceful solution. So I got political. I was asked to start a CRA, California Republican Assembly group, and I did. I founded the Greater Pasadena Republican Assembly, became the president. We had meetings. That was growing. A community was growing. Got involved here at the park with you guys. I did a lot of grassroots stuff, knocking on doors, handing out flyers, all of it. I'm now a member of the county party, LAGOP, and the state party, CAGOP. I'm a California delegate for the California State Party, and I'm hoping to be a national delegate and go to the national convention this summer as also a California delegate for the Republican Party. So I've gotten really involved politically. And have we seen a big difference? Not yet. So we still need to push, and we need to push on the political dial as far as I'm concerned, because that's a peaceful answer. So then I was asked if I would like to run as a Republican. There was no Republican running for 28, District Congressional District 28. We do have somebody for 41 now, 28, I'm running, and Elizabeth Ahlers is running in this district for state senate. So everybody has three districts. You've got your state senator, you've got your state assemblyman or woman, and you've got your congressional person. Of course, you also have your U.S. state senator, but in terms of your local community, you have three districts. So I'll be running for the congressional district in this area. Now, I turned in my papers. I pulled my papers. I got my signatures. Thank you all for signing, those of you in the district. But I did hear that they want to run another Republican. After I pulled my papers, they knew about me. I think it's maybe, you know, what you might consider a rhino. So we'll see what happens. I was hoping to be the only Republican on the ballot, because if I get through the primary and it's just a Republican and a Democrat and I'm the Republican, I'm automatically what they call an ex officio. Ex officio gets you're now a part of the county and state party automatically. And depending on how many votes you get, you get delegates. And the more delegates we can get, America First, strong people who are going to do stuff, more delegates we get that can get involved in the party, we can change the party. We can get the party more active and more relevant. So to me, that's part of the answer. Now, I told you that I wasn't raised religiously. We didn't even have a Bible in the house. It wasn't my thing. But after all of this went down, I started listening to people talk about the spiritual dimension of all this and how we're under a spiritual attack. And it did make sense to me. And I saw, you know, on our money, in God we trust, and our God-given rights, and, you know, our founding fathers were religious, and they believed in divine intervention. And of course, if you know anything about our revolution, there was divine providence in that. There was a lot of miracles that happened that some people say could only be the divine. So I am becoming more aware of that element. And I do believe that tyranny comes from an evil spirit. I think, might you agree with that? Because if you track it back, where does that come from? Where does that sense of control and power come from? The evil, dark side. And of course, like you were saying, Adam, we need to be the light, goodness, freedom, intellect, individual rights. You all have your own business. And that's what you need to take care of. So I'm becoming more aware of biblical stories and how that might play into our scenario here. I'm trying to learn more about that and resonate with that more. And I was thinking, because my family wasn't religiously Jewish, I have a feeling in the late 1930s, early 1940s in Eastern Europe, in Poland, those Jews may not have been that religious either. And I'm wondering, maybe they left God out of the picture. And this is what happens when you leave God out of the picture. I don't know. That was just a thought that occurred to me, because I know what my family was like. So we need to do that. Now, I'll take any questions. So again, when 2020 happened, my life took a U-turn, right? I was like, whoa, what's going on? I got really involved. And now I'm running for Congress, believe it or not. It's hard for me to believe. But here are just a few of the things I stand for. They're pretty basic. Law, order, and justice. Obviously, we have to have crimes are crimes. We have to prosecute crimes. We can't let people steal $950 and that's okay. We can't let people burn down buildings and that's okay, even if they're doing it because they hate America and they think America is racist and that this is what racist countries get. You can burn down their buildings. That's not okay. I don't know how we've allowed, how people think that that's okay, but it's part of the propaganda. Obviously, we have to secure the borders. Something like, I know the media doesn't always tell the truth, but I'm hearing something like 15 million people have come into our country. More populations bigger than three to five of our states have come in. We have no idea who these people are. We're in really big trouble. Personal and parental rights, we have to stick up for those. Exposing and prosecuting corruption, which is rampant. We have to do something about that. Limited government, limited regulations, and limited taxes. I think, you know, that's really important in a capitalistic society. I'm a capitalist. If we don't have corruption, capitalism is a great system. Competition. Did you ever hear that joke? Why is Ford such a great car company? Because of Buick. Which just means it's competition is what makes you good. When you're competing, you get better. So that's what we have to have. And that's why systems like capitalism is just, you know, you get nothing. Communism, you get nothing. What did all of communist Eastern European produce in 40 years? Maybe wheat, maybe. But, you know, they don't produce anything. So we need to promote capitalism to produce things. Unleash, and this will help to unleash the American potential because we have it here. We also have energy, lots of energy in the ground. What was the first thing that Biden did? Shut the Keystone Pipeline. We were energy independent, and he shut the Keystone Pipeline. Terrible decision. We need to get back to energy independence. And of course, you know, protecting our Constitution. So these are pretty basic principles. These are what I'm standing on. I do want to share some other things with you regarding, you know, I want to share my poem with you, but I'm going to ask right now if anybody has any questions or any comments about what I said.
Yes.
Good. Raymond. Oh, do we need the microphone for this? I'm sorry. So maybe I should wait. Should I wait till the end or?
Yeah,
okay, I'll wait till the end. Excuse me.
Go ahead and go through the whole thing, and then we'll do
the questions.
Come up here for questions.
Okay, excuse me. So these are the things I've been thinking about. This is why I'm running. I do want to share my After the Great Reset poem with you because this is also my big concern, where we're going with this one new world order. So I'm going to share it now, okay? This is kind of a poem and a what they call a tall tale. But a tall tale has some truth to it. So see what you think of this. This is my tall tale of what might be 50 years in the future. The year is 2073. Things are quite different. America has changed. Concepts, understanding, history, all rearranged. Humans became hackable. They were monitored under the skin. All sorts of data was taken, and it was branded a win-win. Circuitry, wires, nanotechnology. We became the vessel. They ran the methodology. They tracked our every move and knew where we've been, what we did, who we saw, and the money we spent. Then they tracked our brain waves and decoded our thoughts and could tell if we were thinking right or not. And then humans changed and merged with AI. Have you heard of singularity, cyborgs, and hive minds? For those in on this scheme, it's been a dream come true. Transhuman reality is no longer taboo. How did they do it? It wasn't so hard. People believed them and let down their guard. Smart graphene oxide was implanted in them. Many complied, but there was some mayhem, and people were monitored 24/7, whether they knew it or not. Very few questioned. The Internet of Things got connected to people. And now we don't have to move, and they call us sheeple, and everything's fine. The news says we're better. No one is fighting. It's better than ever because we are monitored from the inside out. When we are hot, fans turn on and turn off when we're not. We speak our commands and sometimes just think them, and miraculously, lights turn on, food gets cooked, and music starts to hum. And when we are sick, they sound an alarm and deployed, or the medicine's already stuck in our arm. They activate on demand from some place remote. The payload is delivered, the right antidote. And do you remember the $6 million man? I'm dating myself. Look him up if you can. It was a show on TV, as well as the bionic woman. I would watch them both and thought they were good ones. These people were made of bionic parts. They could see really far and hear things really soft. They were faster and stronger. Their powers were super. They were supernatural beings and part computer. They had skills and features humans could only dream of. But in 2073, it became a common appearance. Humans were cloned with incredible features and now are nearly invincible, but less sensitive creatures. And the best thing of all in 2073 is the programming that succeeded in making us be like-minded in so many ways. Everyone agrees we're on the same page. We don't look alike in structure or feature, but we believe the same thing. We all have the same teacher. There's no disagreement on any one topic, and if there's conflict, it's microscopic. Everything is fine. Nothing's out of place. We humanoids move in sync and all with a straight face. Things changed in the world, happened all in lockstep. The whole world agreed, critical thinking in check, and little by little humanity morphed. Some went easy, some by force, but in the end, we merged with AI, and this new race seems unified. Food arrives. No one is crabby. We were told we'd own nothing and still be happy, and so we are this humanish tribe. We're a well-oiled machine, and share the same vibe, much more so than the original race of humans who once roamed this place. With their emotional baggage and needing of resources, they disagreed and fought and had many discourses. But they were humans, not machines, which makes it messy and not so clean. And they also brought life and soul to the place, a diversity of ideas and a spiritual embrace of the arts, music, nature, and rhyme. Their imagination was inspired from the divine. They sang, laughed, and danced and were of the sublime. Something is missing during this time. And do these original humans still exist with their messy emotions and many trysts? Yes, there are a few who live in the mountains. They live off the grid, maybe a few thousand, who escaped the cities and would not comply with the demands their government passed by and by. And like Bigfoot, they don't want to be seen. They live a simple life and stay away from machines. They trade and barter and live off the land. They've moved back in time and stood up to commands, but the one new world order has left them behind. But they didn't want to be intertwined with machines and bots and mind control plans. They wanted their sovereignty and to have their own land. But if they are seen, they will not last long. No one wants anyone who can't get along with the programmed agenda that is so omnipresent. So they stay out of sight, but they will not be acquiescent. So, friends, where would you like to be 50 years from now in 2073? In the city with cyborgs connected by Bluetooth? Or up in the mountains pursuing your own truth? The decision is not so easy to make, and I'm sure some will say, Bonnie, this isn't fact, this is fake. So the question's completely 100% rhetorical. How you answer matters not here in the physical. This is a tall tale of what might be if we're not careful in 2023. It could read like a cautionary tale. I'll let you decide which one prevails. Maybe I'm crazy and seeing too much. Or maybe we've lost some of our human touch. I'm here to tell you, we don't want to lose our human touch. Thank you. Yeah. We don't want to lose our human touch. We don't want to lose our country. We don't want to lose our constitutional rights. We need to take it back. We need to take our country back. And I know it's hard to vote for Republicans. I get it. Hold your nose. Register to vote. Vote red down the ticket. I'm not saying they're all great, but we need balance. And that is one thing we don't have. Let me just say, in California, we have 80 state assembly people. Out of the 80, 18 are Republicans. That means 62 are Democrats. We have 40 state senators. 8 out of the 40 are Republicans. That means 32 are Democrats. We have a super, ultra, duper majority of Democrats. You can, ruling by one party rule is what gets us in big trouble. We need balance, and we don't have it. So please register to vote. Just vote Republican down the ticket. I'm sorry to have to say that. Hold your nose and do it just to get balance back. I hope that makes sense to you. And I hope you enjoyed this talk. And I hope you'll vote for me. And I'm very open, because this is my first campaign stump speech. I just want to say that, to any comments or how I can make it better or what I should do to make it better. So thank you very much. And I'm open to questions too.
Are we on here, Kenny? Okay. So if you do have a question for Bonnie, please come on up and form a line right here. And I will start us off.
Oh, good.
If you don't mind.
Of course.
I have no doubt in my mind that the presidential election was stolen.
Yeah, I agree.
I did not personally vote for Trump, but I could see with my own eyes that he was filling whole stadiums full of adoring fans that were active and involved, and Biden could barely fill up a high school gymnasium
yes.
with people that were half asleep. So there is no way on earth that you can juxtapose those stadiums full of crazed fans with that gymnasium full of sleeping, I don't know what you want to call them. They weren't fans,
no, for sure.
But I was wondering if you could respond to the narrative that is trying to be spread by the Democrats right now that the election wasn't, in fact, stolen, and it was up and up, and Biden really did get all those votes. That's the narrative they're trying to push. I was wondering if you could just address that.
Sure. Well, that is propaganda 101. They lie, they cheat, they steal. And this is a big part of our problem. And I'm just going to say that gentleman Kenny, who came here, as soon as you started talking about the January 6th people, he left. I believe, you know, he's a Republican. He reached out to me. He wanted to come to the Greater Pasadena Republican Assembly. But even Republicans don't want to hear that the election was stolen, that January 6th was not an insurrection, even though there wasn't a single weapon except flagpoles that these people carried. We have political prisoners. You know, the narrative is the same as 2 weeks to flatten the curve and that the vaccine is safe and effective. I mean, it's the same thing. They're lying. I do believe that the election was massively stolen. Like you pointed out, Trump had 50,000 people in a stadium and 10,000 people in the parking lot. People would travel, you know, 30 miles in the desert because a lot of times he would just land, you know, in the middle of no. Well, I mean, I guess there was a small town in Arizona. Excuse me? They would travel from other states. The, you know, the caravans, the boat vans, the boat parades. You know, it was obvious that Trump was up. But they want to, and they closed the election, right? At 8:30, 10:30 at night, the election got closed in those five states. At the State Farm Arena in Georgia, they were seen. They told everybody there was a water main leak and they had to leave. So they closed the polling station there at State Farm Arena. And then at 2 o'clock in the morning, you saw the video. They pulled out the suitcases full of ballots, scanning them in again. I mean, the evidence is there. In Pennsylvania, there are some counties that have 124% voter turnout. There is so much video evidence. I watched all of those events that Rudy Giuliani put out. Hundreds of people who worked the polls for 30 years, 20 years, came out and said, we have seen such massive irregularities. We saw boxes show up that looked like they were pre-printed. It wasn't on the same paper. They were all, the bubbles were in. And it was just the bubble for the president. Nothing filled down the rest of the ballot. We saw videos of people tearing up the ballots of Trump. There is so much evidence. So I'm 125% convinced that the election was massively rigged. I know it was, because there's evidence. And just like you said, Adam, just, you know, logically, it's clear, you know, even if you don't know all the evidence, it's clear. And there's also computer evidence, too, with the for every one vote that Biden got, you know, they would take, or every one vote that Trump got, like 0.25 would go to Biden. So when you actually look at the computers, they're not even whole numbers. Biden gets, you know, whatever it is, 500.75% of the vote. How do you get 0.75% of the vote? Additionally, in Arizona, Trump's vote counts went down. Over time, his vote counts went down. You never have a voting situation where counts go down. It's always cumulative. You can't. That's not how voting works. You either add or it stays the same. It never goes down. You never take a vote down. There is so much massive evidence. And when people say, yeah, but the courts never found evidence, they didn't take it. They never, ever, ever looked at the evidence. They wouldn't look at it based on standing. These people don't have standing because there was no victim, or they weren't a victim, so they have no standing. There is evidence. And this is the problem, right? We're in a propagandized state where the leaders are lying to us. Lying to us. The media is lying to us. This is Germany. This is Germany 1935. Same thing. So I'm convinced it was stolen. I know people don't want to hear that. A lot of Republicans don't want to hear that. I'm going to run as an American first. I'm going to just tell the truth. I'm probably going to lose votes over it, but it gives me a platform to share this information, which I think is really important. So I'm glad you agree with that. Yeah. Thank you. There's no such thing as bad press, so fine, bring it on. Say I'm a crazy kook, big lie, Trump cult, right-wing extremist. John.
I wonder if you might want to include in your presentation some concrete examples of the tyranny. For example,
I should.
Two or three years here, we have hundreds of people coming to our meetings because people were worried about losing their jobs because they were being forced to take the shots, which we now know are absolutely poison, and that the government and the chemical companies knew that they were going to be harmful to people.
Pharmaceutical, but chemical. So, yeah, chemical pharmacies, that's a good...
I'm thinking that if you could go back and remember some of the people coming here, because remember, we had Judy Mikovits here.
Sure.
And we had all these people wondering what they could do. Well, wasn't it Democrats that controlled all of this in the unions, in the schools, in the absolute government, forcing people and lying to them? Well, you've got to make them feel that.
Yes.
They don't move unless there's pain.
That's right?
Maybe you can include that in your speech.
Thank you. Good point. Yeah, you guys agree with that too, that I could be more concrete, some examples, instead of just being kind of general? It'll hit home. It'll hit home, right? And you got to do that. Thank you, John. Good idea. Ash.
Wonderful presentation, Bonnie. Thank you. And that poem was to die for. Amazing. We don't talk about enough, I think, is there's a big problem is censorship. You're talking Google,
censorship.
YouTube, same thing. And to Adam's point, you know, there's no such thing as bad publicity.
Okay.
Google know that. So they blocked these YouTube posts, which would have gone viral. They would have got 10 million hits or more. They completely block it. And then you get people like myself, and I'm sure a lot of people around America and even around these parts, you can't even comment on certain posts because you offer a different opinion, like with the COVID situation or the COVID injection, and just a little bit different to mainstream dogma and block. Now you're shadow banned. So what are your thoughts on the whole censorship there, and I don't know how to combat it?
Again, it's violating our freedom of speech. So blatantly, obviously violating our freedom of speech. Now, can you say fire? They always say, well, you can't say fire in a movie theater. Well, because you're going to physically hurt somebody. You know, you can't threaten, I'm going to kill you when you get to your car. I'm going to kill you. I mean, you know, if I say something like that, that's, you know, you can't say freedom of speech under that banner. But certainly we're allowed to our opinion. And nowadays we listen to the silenced, not the science, because it's the silenced that are telling the truth. So
amen.
We have got to stop censorship. Again, censorship was one of those things that usher in communism. Wouldn't you agree? And tyranny. When we have censorship, fascism. It's fascism. And they run Mockingbird Media. You've heard of it. Mockingbird Media, where three companies, Vanguard, State Street, and BlackRock own it all. And you hear the media from all over the United States of America. They say the exact same thing. Verbatim. Operation Mockingbird. We all know this. I'm preaching to the choir. I don't know how to tell the people over there, under that thing, over that... Okay, got me on video. So maybe you people out there who aren't in here with us and don't believe what I'm saying, maybe this will resonate a little bit. But yeah, no, censorship is horrible. And I can tell you, if I were to get it all the way to Washington, D.C., okay, if you guys can get out and tell your family and friends and neighbors to vote for me, and if I were to make it all the way to Washington, D.C., my whole thing is building coalition. I would work with all of these congressional people who feel like we do. And there's a few of them, not a lot, but we need to bring more of them. There's like 20 people in the Freedom Caucus right now. We need 200. And that would be my main thing is building coalitions. One person is not going to do it. I could scream at the podium and say all this, but it's not going to do it. We need to get people to come together in the Congress so that we show up as a big front, because that's going to make a bigger impact to put down, you know, to have freedom of the press. So important. So important. It's First Amendment. Truth. Freedom. And there's also one more thing, and then I'll take your question, Nick. There's this thing called truth and reconciliation, and Trump mentioned it in a speech about a week or so ago, where these crooks and criminals, instead of putting their heads on stakes, which is what I would like to do, there's this thing called truth and reconciliation, where they admit to what they've done. And we forgive them. He mentioned that. This is a real thing. This is what they've done after other wars and horrible events in other countries. They have this thing called truth and reconciliation, so you don't have to kill all these people. So, anyways, I'm not sure if I'm for that, but people have to have accountability. We have to have accountability for the lies and the censorship and the propaganda and all of it. Thank you. Nick.
Hi, Bonnie. My question is a little bit up front. The New World Order was at one time a tinfoil hat until George Bush Sr. said it multiple times, and it was actually told to not say it anymore. It's now become reality. And with New World Order, backing it is corporatism. And with the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the TPP, a major provision of that that I had major issue was that corporations could sue sovereign nations. In other words, sovereignty was lost. We are all sovereigns in this country by definition because of the American Revolution. My question is, in growing, we talked a little bit about this before you went on your speech, common ground. We used to have common ground in this country. Now it's divisive. The burning, the Black Lives Matter, the burning of cities and true insurrections have divided us. They're dividing and conquering. My question is, and you touched a little bit on it already, what would you do to help build consensus for the future generations to reestablish common ground that we are Americans first, political differences and policy differences second? Thank you.
Yeah, good question. Well, when I'm in Congress, again, I would align myself with people who feel like we do and try to bring others in who might be on the edge and might just be afraid to say it. So we have to build coalition there in Congress. But of course, I would fight for sovereignty. And the first thing is secure borders. Obviously, if we don't have secure borders, we don't have a sovereign nation. And let me tell you, it's not just the southern border. People are now coming in from the northern border, from Canada. So that's going under the radar. But the first thing we have to do right now is secure our borders. And I'm going to just say it. We need to deport these people. We need to figure out, Trump says he's got a plan. We need to find them and deport them. They cannot be here. I am all for vetted legal immigration. I have no problem with that. In fact, it's really nice to have, I mean, this is going to sound so superficial, but you know, the restaurants, right? We have an Indian restaurant, Ethiopian restaurant, you know, I mean, it's kind of nice, you know, we don't have just American, you know, hamburgers and fries type of a thing. I mean, it's a little bit superficial. We want diversity. I mean, it's no problem, but they have to assimilate. That's the other thing. People have to assimilate when they come here. They can't stay in their culture and not learn our language and not learn. In fact, it pisses me off that when you go to the ballots, when you get your ballots, there's like, I don't know, 20 languages. You can order your ballot in 20 obscure languages. You read it in English, period. You don't know English, you don't vote. Is that terrible? Yeah. No. I mean, and so, yeah, that helps with the sovereignty. And then the other big thing, of course, is education. Now, again, I'm just going to say Trump has his Agenda 47. If you haven't seen Trump's Agenda 47, check it out. But one of the things is he wants to defund all schools that promote CRT and do not promote a more America first, honest, historical curriculum. And he had that 1776 program going right towards the end of his term. And again, what was one of the 10 top first things that the Biden administration got rid of the 1776 program? The teachers' unions are destroying our schools. And it's starting at a very young age. And I posted, if you guys are on Telegram, I think I posted it this morning, last night. There's a CCP-aligned company who's now working with our schools. The guy is the head of this court thing. You can watch it on the Telegram channel, I think, for People's Rights. There is a, it's from Epic Times. And it's the CCP are working with our students. That's how they did it. That's how they did the National Guard in Germany, too. They got the children. And the same thing with the color revolution. In fact, I'll take your question in a second. But the Chinese had, you know, got rid of the four olds. That's what they called it. You know, get rid of the culture, get rid of the language, get rid of the religion, get rid of the customs. And they got rid of the four olds, get rid of the statues. And then they can usher in their agenda. And parents, kids were telling on their parents that their parents were talking about the old ways, about how nice China was before Mao Zedong. And he killed way more people than even Hitler. And the children got involved in that. So education is super important. And I'm also, by the way, a homeschool mom. I homeschooled my kids until they were in high school, and then they just had enough of their mother, and they had to get out from under my wing. It was hard for me. It was easy for them. We homeschooled up until eighth grade. They went to a public high school. You know, I tried to keep tabs on them. It was a little bit tricky. And then both of them are now in college, and they did great. So I'm a huge proponent of homeschooling, because if we pull our kids out of the public schools, we defund the teachers' union. We have to defund the teachers' union and promote a love of country, a love of America. And it's these constitutional rights. It has to be kind of, I hate to say it, I hope this doesn't sound heresy, but it has to kind of be our Bible. The American Bible is our Constitution.
Teach American history, not U.S. history.
Teach American history, yes. That's a good point. Instead of U.S. history, which comes from some other agenda. Yeah, thank you. I hope that answered your question. John?
Just a couple of things. First thing is a point of order. We don't have constitutional rights. We have constitutional protections. Constitution doesn't give us any rights. It tells the government they shall not. Okay? And you need to spread that idea, because it's a big difference.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, we're God-given rights, natural God-given rights. Yeah, so... protected by the Constitution.
Correct. That's a very important point.
So that's a little distinction there.
The second thing is that back in the, I don't know if you're aware about this, but do you remember the abortion debate when it was going very strong?
It's always been going strong.
Well, in the 80s, you know, back in the 80s and back in that Reagan era and coming forward from that period of time. One of the things that I learned is that our absolute right to free speech occurs only when you're running for office. You can say anything you want to say when you're running for office.
Okay.
However,
I'm running for office.
That's correct. However, if you're not and you're trying to say a lot of things, then that's when they can come after you as an individual when you're being, you know, they'll call you names and they can do all kinds of things. But when you're running for office, which means why don't more people run for office so they can all have their point of view without threat?
Well, I'll say that that has kind of changed, because they did deplatform Trump, for instance.
Deplatforming is not prosecuting.
Well, they're prosecuting Trump now.
Yes, I mean, but they're
because
using...
Because he's running for office.
Well, yes, but the reasons that they're quoting are not because he said something. It's because they're trying to use lawfare to use laws
well,
that don't really apply
against them too. But yeah, right, lawfare.
Well, and that can all be stopped if you have enough Republicans in there that'll actually do their job.
Exactly. If there's enough Republicans who don't have the who feel like they've got somebody's got their back. Oh, there's Jim. He's supposed to come over here. Who feel like they've, you know, if they can go in, right? One person is really hard. 10 people, a little easier. 100 people. And you mentioned it, the 3%ers. You know what the 3% are? The 3% are the people that saved this country during the revolution. 3%. One against the biggest, most feared, fierce military on the planet at the time. 3%. Some people say it's a little bit less than 3%. 3 out of every 10 people. If we could get 3 out of every 10 people in California to feel like we do and actually do something, we can make a difference. And it's the same in Congress. You know, if we could get 3% of Congress, what is that out of 450 people roughly? What's 3%? How many?
120.
3%? No, out of 400 people, 450. 12? Really? Well, I will say the 20 Freedom Caucus, they're making moves. It's a little bit more than 3%. They're making a little bit of headway, but maybe we need more than 3 then, because that doesn't sound enough to me.
I thought it would be 120. 3% of 400.
That's 30.
Oh, 30.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. All right.
Who knows?
Okay. Karen.
Boy, I love that poem. Did you write that?
I wrote that.
Oh,
and
Bonnie.
You know what? It didn't take me long. It came out of me because I knew very well what was going on. And when you know what's going on, you can be, you know, clear. You have clarity.
So what I wanted to say about the platform that you're running on.
Yes.
Just something that I would like to hear as a voter is, okay. You know, this is what you're going to do to fix this. You listed a lot of things that you want to fix, but as a voter, I want to know, how are you going to do it? And in a speech, a campaign speech, it doesn't have to be more than a few words for each thing, but give the voters an idea of what are you going to do to make that happen. That's
so
all I
things
wanted to
like,
say.
Okay, thank you. So let's be a little bit more specific. Help me out with that, Karen. So, okay, secure the borders. So getting involved, aligning myself with like-minded congressional people and trying to get bigger coalition on that is not enough. That's not enough. You want, what would I do?
Well, I think that's something you'd have to
think about more.
Ask experts about what they would do. First of all, finish the wall.
Build the wall.
Finish the wall.
Reinstate the wall. The wall was up and Biden literally
Ask the Border Patrol people what they're seeing and what they would like. What do they need to be supported? Find out who all these people are and get them out of here. I mean, just, you know, simple things. But do some research on what it would take to accomplish those goals.
Okay.
That's it.
I'll work on that. Thank you.
Come on up to the microphone if you want to say something. So I wanted to talk about censorship.
Yep.
Because that's one of my pet peeves and one of my areas of knowledge.
Good.
So I did a video about 14 years ago called Censorship, the Assassination of Ideas. And so I have been heavily censored on fascist book, and also we have now got our first strike on fascist tube. And I want to put this, by the way, this comment and this video of you up on fascist tube.
We'll see what happens.
But I would just like you to consider the following. The argument that they're making for censorship is that, oh, we're a private company, and we can decide what we put up on our site. Okay? Well, let me ask you a question, Bonnie. Does a paper manufacturing company get to decide what you write on the paper?
Right.
Does an auto manufacturer get to decide where you drive your car? Does a computer manufacturer get to decide what you store on your hard drive? No.
Similar.
I was wondering if you could just comment on that.
Well, those are good analogies. I would also say those are very good analogies, right? And we do need to have debates and have the free place for market ideas, the free market of ideas. Something occurred to me, and it just kind of left my mind. But I know what it was. You're not allowed to discriminate. You can't discriminate because, you know, you can't serve somebody, you can't not sell somebody a car because they have purple hair. And you think purple hair is weird. Or you can't not serve somebody clothes, you know, let somebody buy clothes because they have tattoos on their head. And you don't like tattoos on somebody's head. So in a way, it's kind of a similar thing. I feel like it's a little bit of a discrimination thing when they take us off of fascist tube and fascist book. Because it's a little bit like discriminating against us for our ideas instead of the color of our skin. So not only is it like you said, you know, you can sell somebody paper, but you can't tell them what you're going to write on, but you have to sell somebody paper, right? Now, I suppose if they come into your store with no shoes and no shirt, you could say, please put a shirt and shoes on. But so maybe there's something to that. Really? So there's a song about that? But you can't just blatantly censor people. I mean, censorship is wrong. We know what's going on. They make excuses, just like they say, yeah, you can't yell fire in a movie theater, so there's no free speech, blah, blah, blah. It's excuses. It's a way that they can try to get away with it. It's a way to justify it. It's unjustifiable. And because a lot of people don't agree with us and agree with them, they think that it's justifiable and the right thing to do because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings or start a war or whatever it is. Their poor little feelings. Is that enough of a comment on that? Okay. Hello, Raymond.
Hi. Yeah, of course I'm back here shouting out, and I shouldn't be, but the biggest thing that I want to say is if you're going to continue this movement that we're in,
yes,
you will not succeed without young people. I go to a lot of events all across Southern California. Time and time again, I see a lack of young people. I see everybody in their 50s, 60s, and 70s.
Yes.
Nothing wrong with that. You got to bring in the young, and somehow they've got them brainwashed from kindergarten through middle school, through high school, through college. But that's the group, once they're out of college, they're going into the workplace, they're going to start buying homes, they're going to start getting married, they're going to have children of their own. We have to show them and tell them, this is where we're going. Do you want to go in that direction? If not, join us. So, I'm holding my nose to vote for Republican, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to believe in you. I got to believe in you if I'm going to vote for you. They have to rebrand the Republican Party.
Yes,
going further.
Yep, I agree with that too.
You've got to rebrand it.
Yep, 100%.
I'm independent. I'm Republican. I'm conservative. I'm patriot. I'm progressive in some ways. I'm a combination of all that. But I just think that in order to move forward, we've got to get young people at these events. And however you need to do that, a good way to do it is through entertainment. Try to bring in some entertainment. Do something to bring them in.
Yeah.
And be able to talk to them and let them hear what we're discussing, what we're saying. They're the future.
Right.
We're holding on with a thread.
Thread.
Right now. Fine thread.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just my general comments.
It's a really good point, you know, and there's PragerU out there trying to get the young people, and Charlie Kirk's organization trying to get the young people and the young conservatives. And I will say I have heard, I don't know how true this is, but the young people are swinging more conservative, probably just to rebel against the far left dogmatic agenda-driven propaganda that just is so forceful on us. So as a way for them to rebel, they're like, no, I want a family. I want a white picket fence. I want to be, you know. Of course, I've also heard that something like 58% of the children now identify as transgender or something like this. So it's very scary. I'm hoping it's a fashionable. And that's, you know, I homeschool my kids, but I will say, my son tells me, it's just a fad, Mom. Don't get so upset. It's just a fad. You know how it is. You know, this transgender movement, it's not a fad. It's gone way too far. And I heard I read or heard somewhere that Mao Zedong, who's on that poster, he promoted transgender. And in his military, and what they found was that, like in our military, you know the saying, where we go one, we go all, and you would never leave one of your brothers behind, you know, you always take them no matter what. I mean, in the military, whatever branch you are, the transgender military, they have no problem shooting each other. There is no allegiance with that unit. They've lost their connection to their soul, to the human connection. And in the Chinese military during the Color Revolution, those transgender ones, and you kind of saw, well, I don't know, like the anime is a little, I don't know. There's a little bit of that comes through on the anime that might have come through that time. But that's what I read, that the transgender military groups that Mao Zedong got together, they had no problem killing each other. They would not stick up for one another. That's scary. Okay.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hello again.
Nick again.
Yes.
I want to retrace back to sovereignty.
Sovereignty.
And the comment and feedback that's been provided that the 14th Amendment incorporated each and every one of us as a corporation, as a person, in the federal jurisdiction. But we live in the soil jurisdiction. The federal jurisdiction is composed of two jurisdictions, the papal municipal, that's out of the Rome, and that's the municipal, and then the British territorial, that is the federal jurisdiction. So in the federal jurisdiction, Washington, D.C., we suspend our rights because it's a different jurisdiction. This is why I think those court cases had no standing in a federal court. That's my feel. When we're born, we're given a Social Security number. It's a bond. We have been incorporated as a corporation, and we are traded based on our education and our earning potential on an open market.
That's what they say.
It's against us right from the start. I think there is a huge potential in educating the youth what jurisdiction means. I just logged in today to my bank account, and I am periodically it comes up, are you a U.S. citizen? And in the federal, the papal municipal, under Roman civil law, you can be cheated. Everyone else in the room can know that you're the victim, but if you do not know that you're the victim, there is no crime committed.
Right.
You have to confront your perpetrator who's stealing from you, not anyone else who can represent you. It's by design. I logged into my bank account, and it said today, it's compelling me to claim I am a U.S. citizen on my bank account, because now, if I don't, quote-unquote, I'm in violation of the Patriot Act. And I can have my bank account services compromised if I don't claim U.S. citizenship. I'm an American first, not a U.S. citizen. This is why when we file a 1040, we file as a resident alien. We are a resident of the United States of America, a resident of the America, but we're alien to the foreign jurisdiction that is Washington, D.C. That's why we file as resident alien. If you live or work in the federal jurisdiction, then you don't file that way. Hmm. It's by jurisdictions. They don't teach jurisdictions in school.
Yeah.
Jurisdiction means everything, and it goes to we, at the end of the Revolutionary War, every person in this country, by birth, is sovereign of their body. That is by definition. They are inalienable rights because we are, each and every one of us, a sovereign. So, where I'm going with this is central bank digital currency, the Rothschild Fractional Reserve Banking System, paper fiat and printing. We do not have money anymore in this country. We only have currency, and it's theft. What would you do about the Federal Reserve and the Treasury now, because of Janet Yellen being there, stealing the wealth of the nation that Roosevelt started and returning the wealth of the nation back to its people?
Oh, boy. Well, the gold-backed currency, I think, is one way we could help mitigate what you're talking about. And as far as the currency goes, we're really a debt nation now.
The 1990 Coinage Act is still in full effect.
I don't know what that. Come say that in the microphone so that we'll hear it in the video. And I'm not. You know, this is not my.
No, I understand.
Expertise.
It's a point of future
but
information.
I'll do my research.
The 1790 Coinage Act that states that gold and silver is the legal tender money of the currency of the country is still in full force and effect. The 1913 Federal Reserve Act was passed Christmas Eve with a skeleton crew to steal the wealth of the nation.
Yeah, we don't have gold-backed currency anymore. We have debt-backed currency. Everything is riding on debt, which is why we have to have this war, because there's no liquidity. So now they're, you know, making more bonds and printing more money because of this war and war and war. Yeah, there's nothing there. There's nothing solid there. How do you deal with that? That's a tough one.
And it does not end well. That happened
and
in Rome.
It does not end well.
It happened with King Louis in France in the French Revolution. It happened in Weimar Germany, and it's happening here today. Today it's all over the world because every currency is backed through the Bretton Woods Agreement by the U.S. dollar that is not backed by gold. Now every currency is backed by fiat. This is the biggest debt crisis in the history of the world.
Huge debt crisis, and we're also not even the petrodollar anymore. We're not even backed by oil, which was at least some commodity that was worth something. So we have nothing backing our dollar except something faith in the United States government, you know, the trust and faith in the United States government. That's the only thing that backs our currency. Do we trust and have faith in our government? No. Yeah. So commodities, gold, silver, precious, you know, gems, something like that. And of course there's Bitcoin. I'm not an expert on Bitcoin. I'm starting to get my feet wet with that. That might be the answer, but I would have to do my research with that, get with people who are a lot smarter with me on that, but who understand what's really going on, because a lot of the smarter people are actually the dumber people. So I have to get people who I really trust and resonate with to figure out how to combat that. But that's a good, I'll look into that. Thank you.
Well, Bonnie, I don't want to put any more pressure on you than solving the whole problem with the United States right now. But just wanted to let you know, we do have our last two speakers spoke specifically on these topics. First of all, John spoke just last week about becoming a national, dealing with all of these issues with the U.S. corporation. So I highly recommend you watch that. And also prior to that, we had Lisa Kastner. That video has just gone up. Talking about CBDC and the digital trap.
Bad news, yep.
My question for you is, there's two quick questions. One is, what would you do about the judiciary that, for example, is not stopping censorship from fascist book and fascist tube? You know, just the fact that they're not doing anything about it tells me that they're derelict in their duties. So how would you respond to that, first of all?
Well, there's infiltration, and we have to get it out. We have to expose and prosecute corruption. That's it. It's exposing and prosecuting corruption. How come these people are not following the Constitution? How come they're not following their oath of that they took? When you're a judge, when you're a lawyer, when you're a prosecutor, it's not. There's no blind. You know, Lady Justice. I love Lady Justice. Right? She has blindfolds on. It's supposed to be fair. It's not supposed to be based on the content. You know. Well, it's the content, but it doesn't matter who's bringing it. Right. Yeah, everything has been infiltrated. Everything has been infiltrated. Every agency, every institution, the Democrat Party for sure by about 99%, the Republican Party by about 70, 80% has been infiltrated. Mm-hmm. The teachers' unions, all of it. The judiciary, infiltrated. We have to expose this and prosecute this. I don't know how else we do it. It's like ticks. You got to pull them out by the tweezer.
Yeah.
You got to find them, and you got to pull it or put the candle to them, get it nice and hot, and then pull them out by the tweezer. So we got to put the fire under these people and pull them out by the tweezer.
Yeah.
We got to find them and pull them out by the tweezer.
Is that sound? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
So my second question is how can we support your candidacy?
Ooh.
And what can we do to help get you and people like you into office?
Okay. Well, first of all, you can go to my website, Wallace4Congress. That's all spelled out, WallaceForCongress.us. I do not have my financial account set up yet. I have to do that soon. And then you'll be able to make a financial donation if you want to do that. But we can walk. You could walk for me as soon as I get some collateral. You knock on doors, spread the word, take a business card if nothing else. Take a picture of my business card or that flyer, share it on social media, and tell people what you think about me, why you think they should vote for me and people like me. Why? When word of mouth, as you probably all well know, is the best advertising. They can see a poster, they can get something on the door hanger. I mean, that might do something for them, but if they hear their trusted friend or brother or whatever, their neighbor say, you know what, I saw this woman, Bonnie, you know, I think she'd be really good. We need to change it. You know, blah, 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 blah. That makes a difference. And people need 7 touches before they really feel and want to vote for you or something like that. So you tell them, then they get the flyer in the mail, then they see it on social media, then you send them an email, etc. So word of mouth, check out my website. Let me know what you think. I've got the code here. You can put it, register to vote. This is the other thing I was going to say. A lot of people, and then I'll get to your question. A lot of people are saying, how are you going to reach the Democrats? How are you going to reach those moderate Democrats? How are you going to reach the independents who aren't? You know, I don't think I have to do that. Joe Biden is doing a fine job of that. I think the opportunity might be in those people that feel like we do, but gave up on voting. They feel like we do, but they got out of the habit of voting. They're not registered to vote. They don't want to be registered to vote. They don't think it matters. Their vote doesn't matter, so they haven't bothered. And I have a feeling that's where some opportunity is. So if you make sure any friend you talk to that feels like we do, ask them, are you registered to vote? If they register to vote, especially as a Republican, we have a much better chance. Number 2, Republicans don't vote. That's just a fact. We see it in the numbers. They've given up on it. They don't think their vote counts. They don't want to bother. There's a saying by Plato. If you don't want to get involved in politics, you will be ruled by your inferiors. Plato said this how many thousands of years ago? If you don't get involved in politics, and that includes voting, you will be ruled by your inferiors. Just vote, tell your friends and family, register to vote, and I say, vote Republican, because we need balance. And then you could talk about me personally and share my business card. take a picture of it, put it on your social media. Thank you for doing that and asking. And soon I'll have a email going around on events or whatnot, you know, like things like this. I appreciate you inviting me. Any other people that you know, invite me to come speak, share this info. And if you have any other ideas, let me know. I'm really open. Let me know. Rachel.
Hey, Bonnie, I want to thank you for your service. Thank you very much for your diligence and your patriotism. And I think you have mentioned one thing that we do on Friday nights over the overpass.
Oh, yes.
So we do that. Yep. So flag day, and then we need more people there to show our you know, our love for the country, our love for the Constitution, and our love for Trump. And forgot what the other thing was. So, yeah, fog. And, another thing is I thought maybe I thought maybe a good idea to start going to those temples and try to change some of those
hearts and minds.
Hearts and minds of the dumb, blind, and deaf Democrats.
Yes.
So we need to do that. And then I'm sure there are a few of there that we could change their mind, except with the climate, what we have today, and how sad it is. And it's just heartening. And to me, as I cry every night about it, because I see that this country is not doing anything, just like they didn't do anything when Hitler took off. Actually, nobody gave a damn then, and nobody's going to give a damn now.
You're right. It's a big problem, but thank you for mentioning the flag drops. We've been doing overpass rallies over the 210 freeway. That's kind of fun. We get lots of honks and thumbs up, but, I mean, we do get our share of middle fingers. And it's amazing because you wave the American flag and you get a middle finger. What the hell is that about? And they're here, living in this country. And, you know, Obama really put the nail in the coffin, because what did he say when he got elected? I want to fundamentally change this country. Now, if you went home to your husband, wife, whatever, girlfriend, boyfriend, or just your mother, father, and say, I love you, but I want to fundamentally change you. What does that tell you? How happy are they with you? I want to fundamentally change you. That is what, and Obama ran around the world apologizing for how racist America is, how colonistic and patriarchal America is. So he really amped it up. Not that it was going on decades before them, but he really put the nail, you know, really put fuel onto that fire. I'm pretty sure Obama was born in Kenya. He should not have been allowed to run. He did not qualify to be our president. And I'm also pretty sure his second term, fraud. And that's why they were so confident they could do it with Hillary Clinton, because they had done it with Obama the election before. And they just didn't have enough, you know, they just didn't see what was coming. That the American people, not here in the coasts, but middle America, flyover country, they did not see it coming. So, arrogance, and it's a big problem. But thank you, John.
Two comments: one about what Rachel was just talking about with the Jews. I think that the Jews are being very surprised at the amnesty and all of the attacks that they're receiving. I think they're probably going to think about voting Republican now instead of Democrat, because they traditionally supported all the Democrats.
Yes.
Second, I want to bring up something that happened about 10 years ago, maybe a little earlier, because I was going to Republican meetings in Riverside, and my one and only meeting, when I went to the meeting, the guy that was running the meeting, he was an office holder, and I don't remember who he was now, but he said that they didn't really think they would ever get elected in this state anymore, so they weren't really trying too hard to run for office. It was more of a little party.
And that's the apathy. That's the, and they use that against us. They tell us, oh, what's the point? That's why Republicans, don't vote. What's the point? My vote doesn't matter. For every one registered Republican, there's 2.5 Democrats. This is just all for show. Don't bother. And look at where we are. We can't think that anymore. We cannot think that anymore. We have to get involved. And that's why getting involved with the party is so important, because the California Republican Party is irrelevant. The LAGOP is mostly irrelevant. But again, as a candidate, as an ex officio, I can get involved in that party, and I have been. And now as a delegate, I have been. And we've been pushing them from the inside out, because this is not going to change from the outside in. Just like they say, nobody's coming to save us. We have to do it from the inside out. It's true with the party, too. We have to change the Republican Party. That's us. That's you. That's me. That's us changing the Republican Party. It's not just going to happen out of osmosis, because they're just as corrupted as the big guys, as all of them. They like the power. And they're happy to lose, because you know why? The consultants make money. For some reason, when you lose, you know, they just make the money, and then they don't have to worry, because if you win, you know you're not going to run again. And it's easier to win. So the consulting class wants the money. It's really hideous. It's really, really awful. But we've got to get in the party. Get involved with your party. You can run for Central Committee. If you're interested in running for Central Committee, the deadline is December 8th. You can get involved in your Central Committee. You could be a part of your LA County Party and your district, and start getting involved. That's how we're going to change the party and make it more relevant. Rachel, I'll take one or two more questions, and then we're going to do one more thing before I finish, okay?
One question is, first of all, your volunteer list, probably you should get that started for volunteers.
Please.
And another thing is, one great thing I think Biden did, can you know what that is? He changed flyover states to fly-to states.
Ah, flyover states to fly to states. Well, that's the thing. A lot of people have left California. Almost 1 million people, over 800,000 people have left California. And all the billionaires have left California, and now we no longer have a surplus. We're a deficit because the rich people left. They said, screw it. Just like Ayn Rand's Fountainhead, Atlas Shrugged, where, you know, the guy shrugged his shoulders. He had the world on his shoulders, and there was all this regulation, and he said, screw it. He shrugged his shoulders. The world fell off, right? That's kind of the analogy, and screw it. So I would like to do one more thing. Did you want to make a closing comment? Because before you do
it. No, go ahead.
Okay. So I want to pray. Are you guys okay with that? Okay. Again, I haven't been a spiritual person, but I'm getting more into it. So I wrote a little prayer for us today, and I'd like to just say a prayer, okay? And then we'll close. And here it is. You are a child of the universe. No less than the trees and the stars, you have a right to be here. And whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should. Therefore, take comfort in knowing that you are doing the right thing by stepping up and taking action and being a part of this epic historic story. Taking action requires courage and determination, but we have truth and goodness on our side. We are fighting for our one nation under God, and we are fighting for freedom, for truth, and for the proclamation that we must have liberty and justice for all in the United States of America now and forever. May our inspired actions and prayers prevail, and may we find protection, strength from the Almighty. May God be with you and all of us. And may God bless America. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Bonnie Wallace. We appreciate you coming and talking to People's Rights.
My pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Anytime. Thank you.